Hello and welcome to the Lightning Cassette Podcast. Today, I'll be covering Major League Back to the Minors. It is the third film in the franchise, but is also considered a spin-off, making it the first spin-off I've covered here on the podcast. The movie was written and directed by John Warren, based off some of the characters by original director and writer David Ward. Robert Fork provided the score. The plot of this film follows aging minor league pitcher Gus Cantrell as he is named the manager of the Minnesota Twins AAA affiliate, the Buzz. I believe they're in Salt Lake City. I don't remember here in the city, but I think when I was doing research, it was Salt Lake City that they were based out of. Scott Bakula stars as Gus Cantrell, Corbin Burnson, Bob Uecker, Dennis Haysbert, and Eric Brooks Carter return as Roger Dorn, Harry Doyle, Pedro Serrano, and Rube Baker, I mean. Kenny Johnson plays Lance the Dance Pierre. Thom Berry is Frank Pops Morgan. Takai Ibashi is Taka Tanaka. Judson Mills is Hog Ellis. Walton Goggins is Billy Downtown Anderson, and Jensen Daggett is Maggie, the love interest of Scott Bakula's character Gus. Peter McKenzie is Carlton Doc Wingate, Ted McGinley is Leonard Huff, and finally Steve Yeager is Duke Temple. Much like the second movie, there's not a lot of information out there about this one. But I did find on Cinema Review that most of the movie was shot in Charleston, South Carolina. College Park became the home stadium of the Buzz. College Park was built in 1907 on the Citadel campus. Some other stadiums were used: Mirmo Field in Orangeburg, Remley's Point at the College of Charleston, Collins Park, Somerville High School Field, and Riley Stadium. They completed filming at the Metrodome in Minnesota in a game between the AAA Buzz and the MLB Minnesota Twins. Major League Back to the Minors was released on April 17, 1998, and much like its predecessor, was a box office flop, making just $3.5 million against an $18 million budget. We open the movie in the middle of some real tiny semi-pro type bullshit. Roger Dorn shows up and watches at this high school looking field. Some generic ass country music plays as the opening credits roll during the game. The way past his prime pitcher, who is just trying for one last shot that probably isn't coming, gets a fly ball out. However, the umpire demands to see the ball and it's frozen. The ump tosses him from the game, and to let us know this movie is going to be funny, the ball sticks to the ump's hand. We get more country music, and I'm starting to hate this movie already. Dorn walks into a diner Gus is eating at, and the two share a drink. Gus has a bit of a relationship with the waitress, and Gus tells Dorn that he intends to retire after the current season. Dorn asks Gus to manage his AAA team. Gus doesn't want to do it. Roger then invites them to watch Downtown Billy Anderson, who plays on the team, obviously. I should mention here that Roger Dorn, despite selling the Indians in the last movie because he was having financial trouble, is now the manager of the Twins, and he just made or the owner of the Twins rather, and he just makes it rain. Gus doesn't want to go watch the game. But Roger invites them to go see Downtown Billy Anderson. Maggie accepts on Gus's behalf before he could answer. And I spot an old ass dude wearing the Pirate's sweet 1970s pillbox hat. Interesting style of hat, however, I wouldn't rock it. Leonard Huff, manager of the Minnesota Twins, spots Gus and Maggie, and he starts flirting with Maggie while throwing pot shots at Gus the whole time. The three of them sit with Dorn and watch the game. Downtown puts on a clinic, and Downtown is supposed to be the hot young prospect, but dude comes on the screen looking like he's 35 years old with a tremendous receding hairline. Billy throws some jokes at Gus before heading into the locker room after a brief meet. Huff can't quit referring to the Twins as the big team. That's his thing. He's meant to be a hateable douche, and he pulls it off just fine. Gus says Huff will bring Billy along before he is ready. Dorn agrees and tells Gus that's why he wants him to be a coach, manager of his AAA team, where he intends to move old downtown Billy up to. Gus agrees to think about it. And we cut to Gus and Maggie eating in the same sorry-ass diner as before. Maggie tries to give Gus a pep talk, which works because he agrees to try. I think that Dorn offered him 2 weeks if he didn't like it, walk away, no hard feelings. Frank pops Morgan and the mascot come and pick Gus up in a shitty-looking fieldhouse cart. Pops introduces Gus to members of his new team, who are quite eccentric. A couple members include a former ballerina and Rube Baker, who now can't throw at all. So his career must have gone well after Major League Two. He only couldn't throw to the pitcher in Major League Two, but now he can't throw to first, second, third, anywhere. So I don't even know how the fuck he has a tryout or whatever the fuck it is. I just went ahead and assumed that Dorn threw him a bone by signing him to a minor league deal. Something to note, and that's as of yet they have made no mention of how far along they are in the season. Harry Doyle is announcing AAA for some fucking reason randomly. Well, I know that they wanted to have Bob Uecker in the movie, but why the fuck's he here doing this? The game starts, and hilariously bad play by the Buzz and Sue. The Juan Lopez twins, twin brothers with the same name, start brawling on the field over confusion about a grounder. One is a second baseman and the other is a shortstop, and they collided. At practice the next day, Gus has them tied off so they can only go so far so they don't collide. I guess that's so they don't collide in the future. I don't know. It just looks really odd to see these two dudes just like tied up to a stake, like how you would put a stake in the middle of the yard and tie out a dog. It's quite the visual. One of the older pitchers, Doc, can't even register on the radar. That's how slow his fastball is. Gus moves Pops to first because he is too old, fat, and slow to play in the outfield. And those are direct quotes from Gus. Doc is a great value version of Phil Hartman, this old-ass fucking pitcher. We get a little scene of them eating at another fucking diner. That's what the real name of this movie should have been, Major League Back to the Diners. Gus and Pops continue to bond over dinner. I wonder if Pops is an homage to Willie Stargell, as that was his nickname. We learn that Pops has never played in the majors, but he almost did once with the Boston Red Sox. He was going up to fill in for a hurt player, and they had bad weather and they couldn't land the plane, so by the time the storm cleared a couple days later, the player was fine. During the next game, Gus asks Billy to sacrifice bunt. After some protest, Billy agrees, but goes out and hits a homer instead. Gus pulls Billy into his office after the game while Billy and his teammates celebrate. Gus tells him to do what he says, and he benches Billy for the next 3 games. Doc tells Gus he believes Rube's throwing problems go back to Little League. Some coach, I guess. Doc tries to kind of be a friend and a mentor to all the members of the team, which is good, but I don't know. He's a bit of an annoying character. Billy can't hit it outside pitches where the fuck. Gus tells Rube if he fucks up another routine throw, he's gonna send his ass home. Later, Gus prays aloud for one real baseball player to be struck dead, then and there. So naturally, he gets hit in the head by a foul ball, right in the back of the head as soon as he turns around. He is awakened with smelling salts by Pedro Serrano. We learn from Doyle's commentary he quit baseball for a while, but now he's back. Pedro gets a walk-off 2 RBI hit at the conclusion of his first game with the Buzz. And we see clips of a Buzz winning streak, including Rube making a throw to first. Gus and Pedro find Taka at a putt-putt course, and Taka, he owns this course, and they basically kidnap him or make him come play baseball. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but Taka was dressed like a pirate, and he gets on the bus and leaves with the team. The bus continues to kick ass. We then cut to the twins, and they are playing miserably. Dorn is pissed, though he is happy to hear that the buzz are doing well. Roger then makes a sweet deal to a sweet pitch to Gus to book the presidential suite at a hotel, and he sends his jet to pick up Gus and Maggie, all expenses paid trip. And again, I must have missed something because last movie he sold the Indians because he was having money problems, and he mentioned at the start of this movie he had six marriages. So how the fuck does he have all this money to spend? Dorn lists off the problems with the team, the twins, and we see another twins loss. Dorn and Gus are watching the game from the owner's box. Later that night, the three of them attend dinner with Huff. Gus calls Huff out for the team having no unity. Huff laughs at him. Things get hostile real quick, which ends up with Gus challenging a game between the MLB Twins and his AAA Buzz. And this all ends in a fist fight after Huff won't quit poking Gus. The next morning, Roger calls Gus, and he has him meet him at the restaurant. Before they can chat, Gus sees on the front of the paper that the Twins and Buzz will be squaring off in a game. He protests, and there was some banter between the two before Gus agrees to talk to his team about it. He exits the restaurant to one hell of an ovation. Everyone in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I guess, really fucking hates this Huff guy. The Buzz pull up to the Metrodome, and we get some dialogue from Doyle, who was on the bus, about his drinking. So maybe that's why he got, I'm assuming, fired from the Indians, and then he would have been hired by Dorn for the Twins. Because why not? We see an interview with one of the Twins' pretentious stars, Carlos Liston. He chases the reporters out of the locker room after they kind of make fun of him. He then breaks the bat in front of a few Buzz players to establish dominance, I guess. The stadium fills up and we see the juxtaposition of the two managers. Huff screaming it's a must-win and ranting and raving like a fucking lunatic, and Gus just nice and calm telling his team to just be loose and have fun. Doyle fucks with the Twins broadcaster, and the Twins finally put up the first run of the game. Liston comes up to bat, and it's suggested by Doc that the pitcher throw him some chin music. And the pitcher is Hog, so he does, even though he's terrified. Liston goes to the mound, and Liston threatens Hog. And Hog looks pretty fucking terrified. Liston then hits a homer. Billy comes to the plate and he hits a three-run homer to tie the game. Gus pulls Hog Ellis whenever Liston comes back to the plate, and we learn that Hog apparently has no pitches besides a fastball. So Gus brings in Doc. Since Doc throws so slow, he feels it will be a good way to like trip Liston up, I guess. Doc has two strikes on Liston, but Huff makes a call. And someone cut the stadium lights. And just like that, the game ends in a tie, apparently, because they can't wait for the lights to come back on. Gus is drinking with Dorn at a bar, and Gus believes, rightfully so, that Huff had something to do with the lights going out. The Buzz celebrate their tie at a bar, and Roger reads a newspaper column to Gus that praises the Buzz and kind of trashes the Twins. Roger tells Gus that Huff wants downtown brought up, and a small argument ensues when Gus protests that Billy isn't ready for the show. Roger tells Gus that since Huff is the Twins' manager, he can do whatever he wants. I'm personally calling bullshit on that. It was established Roger wanted to have the game between the Buzz and the Twins just to sell tickets, and he probably figures the near hero of that game, Billy Downtown Anderson, can sell more tickets over the course of the season. It's also here Roger makes he's real vague about it. He's like, oh, I think I could use some more people in the majors. And I think, well, we know for sure that Gus is getting a little excited and thinking maybe he's going to bring him up to be the manager. And then that's when he drops the old downtown line. Later that night, the team congratulates Billy as they board the bus to leave. Gus tells Billy he needs another 4 weeks or so, and Billy chides Gus, saying he's untalented and pretty much a nothing. It's an ugly scene. Billy's a real fucking dick to Gus. We cut to the buzz sucking again. Gus tries to get answers from the team, and Hogg offers up that no one thinks they can win without Billy. Gus gives the team a pep talk about the game not being about one player, blah blah, rah rah, let's get 'em type shit. Doc tries to teach Hogg how to throw a curve, which he gets a strikeout with, so that worked. Gus has the little TV in the dugout, which is awesome, and he watches Billy strike out, and we learn that Billy has gone 3-13 since joining the Twins. Cut back to the buzz, and Pedro hits another walk-off. Gus walks in his office to see Billy sitting there. Billy has been demoted and humbled. He apologizes to Gus in the process. And we see Gus helping Billy learn how to hit outside pitches and more team bonding during practice. Billy finally hits some outside pitches during games, and we learn the Buzz won first place in their division during the season. Roger and Huff watch an interview of Gus making an offer to Huff. Gus will put up 1 year of his salary if Huff agrees to put up his job for the two teams to play again, this time at Buzz Stadium. Roger basically goads Huff into accepting the challenge. Huff breaks a TV, and it's Roger's TV, and it's basically, at this point, Huff is just going insane. Like, he should be institutionalized insane. We see Pedro pull out and talk to Jobu. The Buzz and the Twins get ready to play the game, and Gus, like he's wont to do, delivers a rah-rah speech before the game. Gus and Huff shake hands. Gus goads Huff into looking like an idiot by tricking him into pulling his hair out in front of the whole stadium. They meet at home plate to exchange scorecards, and Gus keeps telling Huff how his hair is a wig, and that's when fucking Huff just tries pulling it out. It's a pretty funny little deal they do. The Twins take a 1-0 lead. Hall gives up a 2-run hit to Liston, making it 3-0. Pops makes a hell of a play at first, but gets trucked in the process. When I say that, like the old truck stick in Madden, when you'd be the running back, you'd have the ball, and you just, boom, knock a motherfucker out. That's what happened to Pops. The Buzz went down 4-0, but the Buzz start to rally, scoring 2 runs. The Buzz are down 4-3, with Liston coming up to the plate in the top of the ninth. After hitting two massive foul balls, they would have been home runs if they were fair. Hogg decides to throw Liston some chin music. Liston storms to the mound, but Hogg actually stands up for himself and gets Liston to stand down. Hogg then gets him to swing at strike three. Tucker comes to the plate at the bottom of the ninth. He gets a base hit while Huff continues his meltdown in the Twins' dugout. Before Billy heads to the plate, he asks Gus if he should bunt to move Tucker over. Gus tells him to hit a homer, which he does to win the game for the Buzz. Dorn offers Gus the Twins manager job, but Gus declines, preferring to stay managing in the minors to coach young players. Gus and Maggie then depart for a honeymoon, as they had just gotten married, I guess, off screen, and another generic country song plays over the credits. The positives for me is this is a step up from Major League 2, in my opinion. It's funnier without being over the top stupid like the second one, although there are a couple moments like when the ball gets frozen in the ump's hand, when the Huff is pulling his hair out at home plate. Like, it's funny, but it's stupid, I guess. I don't know. This one was rated PG-13 instead of PG, and it's a bit of an improvement tone-wise. Gus was easy to root for, and Huff was easy to hate, so that dynamic worked very well. Negatives, even though this is a major league titled film and a lot of the cast return, it's still two diminishing returns in my opinion. Jake was the heart of the first movie, and I like the bluesy soundtrack of the first movie, and by the time we get here, everything is totally different. The reason I say that about the title is like, you could have just called this Back to the Minors and had it be a major league spinoff. They probably wanted the major league brand on there, so you know this was part of the major league franchise. But the first one, I mean, this is 98, less than 10 years after the first one came out, and the 4 years after the sequel, and the sequel just sucked. So I don't know. I would think you'd want to distance yourself from them a little bit, but I guess they figured they might as well try again. But I don't know. I just don't know how you can consider this major league, especially with a lot of the big stars gone. But overall, I did like this one better than the second, and it's an easy watch. But I probably would not watch this over the first. I wouldn't watch this over the first one if I had the choice, but it's still fairly decent. It's more of a thumbs in the middle type of movie. Now, there has been talks in recent years about the OG writer director David Ward writing a movie called Major League 3. So I guess this one could be ignored, but it's technically a spin-off anyway, so I don't know how the fuck they would do it. But I ultimately don't think it matters anyway, because I've been hearing talks of this movie since 2011 when Charlie Sheen talked about it while he was going off the damn rails. I believe he even mentioned reaching out to Wesley Snipes. The last thing I heard about it was that it was being considered for a remake, reboot, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and I just want to say this. Stop. Major League does not need to be remade. It is fine just the way it is. I also don't know if I would want to see a sequel at this point, being that it's been more than 30 years since the first one. To put a bow on the franchise as a whole, the first one is a classic, and both sequels are very forgettable. The second one just sucks, and this one is definitely better, but it's just not very memorable at all. And that about wraps it up for Major League 3 and the Major League franchise. Please follow on Twitter, like on Facebook, and join me here next week on the Leighton Cassette Podcast.